Good. Praise the Lord. Wow. Good to see you all. Praise the Lord. I had a chuckle when I saw guys coming into the building. They all had their hair cut. They're looking good. Yeah. They were kind of 3 months shabby there. Amen. I noticed. I complimented. Praise God. We are on week two. We're doing a series called Doors, and you may not know it, but the Bible talks a lot about doors. And it talks about doors that we open, it talks about doors we close, and it talks about doors you need to lock shut. Lock shut. So we're going to talk about that door today. And I was kind of laughing. I don't think I've ever taught on this subject before in a Sunday morning service, so yeah. Go for it, Pastor D. All right. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about like microscopic things, bacteria things, things that you don't see with your eye, aka the last 3 months, right? And how they affect our world, all right? Would you agree that there are things that you can't see that actually affect the world that you can see? Yeah. Write that down. That's our main idea. Ready? There are things that you cannot see that affect the things that you can see. And we are going to tear that apart, look at that, and get a really good understanding. Let me start with this story. How many of you have been on a missions trip? I have. I used to say I don't enjoy them, but I will be obedient to God. So one of my most dramatic missions trips is we took about 35 of us down to Haiti. Haiti, to me, is a third world country. It is, and anyway, we were going to, anybody else on a mission trip, right? So we were going to follow all the directions. We were going to try to follow all the directions, so we took all those pills beforehand. I can't remember if we had to get shots to go there. Okay, yeah, we had to do shots to go there. And we were going to, and anybody who's ever been on a missions trip outside of the United States, we were going to do this one thing really good. Do not drink the water that's local. Right? We were going to be really good at that. So we're going to do not drink the water, the local water, okay? And I remember this really vividly. It was probably like the last night of being down there, and we were participating with Benit June, and he had a big crusade the last couple of days, and our youth were doing drama skits that presented the gospel, and the youth are going on, and I am not a youth. I wasn't a youth back then, so I just make sure everybody gets on into the right places. And right before they go on, I'm like, oh, man, I don't feel so good. I really don't feel so good. So I went to their outhouse. Now, our outhouses look like the Taj Mahal compared to their outhouses. Because when you open the door in their outhouses, number one, they didn't have light. Number two, you took your light, which, AK, we didn't have cell phones that did that. So you took your flashlight, and believe me, not the little one, and you shined it in every corner. And things went scurrying. Okay. All right. So that happened to me. And it was happening that last 2 days to quite a few of us. And I'm like, dang, I did not drink the water. I know. We had our own water. What happened? Two things happened. One, every morning where we stayed, you could have smoothies. Okay? So from the fruit there, which was okay. But they were dipping the knife in their little bucket. Okay, so they're cleaning things off in their bucket of water. I was like, duh. And then I found out later some people had stopped to get ice cream. And they would scoop the ice cream, put it in a dish, put the ice cream scoop and clean it in a little bucket of their water. So needless to say, why I say all that to say is sometimes the things you cannot see can affect the things you can see, right? Right? Anybody know that? So let's get this a little more spiritual, all righty? And not only that we have things that we cannot see, sometimes I don't think we give credit to that with an understanding because they do affect our world. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about closing those doors, all right? Now, I'm going to go over a couple of categories, and maybe this will be you. Don't raise your hand and say, this is me. You'll be so embarrassed. But here, number one, if this is you, do you know, now, I always like to say it's not us, it's somebody else, but do you know anybody, and they always say this, oh, the devil did that. The devil did that. The devil's behind every door. Do you know any people like that? Not us, right? And, you know, I've had someone come up to me, well, their car broke down, and they said, well, that was the Toyota devil. I'm like, no, your red light, check engine light's been on, right? You know, and they just blame everything on the devil and demons, all righty? Now, I really do think that the devil's going, I'll take the credit, but it really wasn't me sometimes because we do some dumb things, all right? So that's one spectrum where people are going, it's a demon, it's a devil, they do everything, okay? And then we have this other thing, this whole other side where people don't even acknowledge that there might be a spiritual world around them, right? All right? And then there's some of us that are just kind of in the between, all right? And then maybe you're just real skeptic and you're like, or maybe you're just not even sure about God. So what I'd ask you to do today, would you just have your ears open? Would you just be open? Because I believe God has some things to say that will help us live this life maybe better than we have been, all right? So I want to start with talking about this first thing. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. There is a kingdom of light. How many of you already knew that? I was sitting there. I love when the lineup's like half of my message, right? So I was like, yay. Okay, so there is a kingdom of light. Number one thing that you need to know, there is a kingdom of light. And I want us to see how the Bible starts. Because right away, God jumps on it in Genesis chapter 1. Right away, the very first couple of verses, I think it's Genesis 1:3, he says what? He says, well, before I say what, he speaks to the world that is dark, voidless earth, right? And what does God say, everybody? Gosh, I might have to send you downstairs. That's preschool stuff, right? Okay? Yeah, God says, let there be light, and there was light. All right? God says, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? Now, let me tell you a secret. This is how God operates. God loves to take darkness and then bring light into it. So if someone want to know God's MO? He loves to find dark places and bring light into it. Okay? Now, here's the coolest part. God just doesn't shine light. Guess what? He is light. How many of you knew that? God is light. Amen. He's light. Okay. So when I was thinking about when God said, let there be light, let there be light. This is what I saw. He was saying, let the evidence of me, let my presence of me. I just spit. Sorry about that. That's why you're 6 feet away from me, right? Okay. That's that. So he said, let there be light. And that's what happened on the earth. That's how I take it, all right? Sometimes you can just read things, and you got to go read them, all righty? Now, okay, I want to talk about this light, all right? And this has probably been about 4 years ago. I have a friend, and he went through a really tough 2 years because he was diagnosed with cancer, and he went through the treatments, and he's great. He's on the other side. He's doing good. He's doing really good, all right? But I remember it being really tough, and you know, sometimes when life gets tough, we can just throw in the towel and just quit on people, on God, and he didn't. He didn't. And I remember asking him when he had gotten the last, I don't know the names of this stuff, the PET scan that showed all the markers, and he came out glorious. I remember asking him, I said, hey, what is God doing in your life? And I remember him saying, you know, I want to say, I'm not sure I have words to say what I want to say, but I got to tell you, every time I was at church, every time I was with my, talking with my church family, every time I was reading my Bible, it was like God was doing stuff inside of me. And this is how I took it. He was really saying, listen to this. Everywhere there was God, everywhere that I was in the Word and the presence of God, God was lighting up my life. God was, you know, he was lighting up my life. If there was darkness and I was into this presence and in the Word, and he was just lighting me up. And, you know, I got to think about this. That is how every Christian ought to live. We ought to live in the kingdom of light, right? And it should be lighting us up wherever we go, right? Y'all look like you believe that today. Gosh, someone say amen, all right? So let's talk about the kingdom of light. Number one, the kingdom of light. Okay, the Bible tells us, in the kingdom of light, there are these messengers of light. In the kingdom of light are these messengers, these beings that God created, right? Okay, and these messengers are called angels. Good, I got some participation going. Okay, now, first, before I go any farther talking about angels, I just want you to erase everything you've been programmed with, art that shows angels and culture that shows angels. And I'm sorry, even though the little precious moment figurines with a thing in the halo, erase, okay? Y'all clean slate, all righty? Because these beings they're tough dudes, okay? They're beings. They're almighty, incredible beings, okay? And these are eternal beings that God created. They are messengers. Some of them are warriors. They are just incredible beings, all righty? And there's different kinds of angels. And I'm going to just go over some things. The Bible talks about, in the Old Testament, seraphims and cherubims, okay? The Bible talks about archangels, and you probably all know about archangels. Michael and who else? Gabriel, okay? And you will read about them, Old Testament and New Testament. These are beings that God created. And also, Satan was an archangel. How many of you knew that, right? He was called Lucifer, and his job description was to be in the presence and to lead worship before God. That was until he just got into pride and he fell. But listen, guys, these are beings. And if you read about them in the Bible, they have personalities. they have emotions, all right? They also have job descriptions, okay? So we're talking about the kingdom of light, but I want to talk about angels that are in the kingdom of light, okay? So number one, if you're taking notes, number one about angels, ready? Write this down. Angels protect God's people. How many of you knew that? God's people, they do. Everybody knows Psalm 91? Psalm 91 verse 11 goes like this: for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. All right? So isn't that great? We've got these tough angels and they are assigned to everyone. So everybody say, I have an angel assigned to me. And I think there's plurals going on there, okay? But I won't get into that. And you know what's so interesting is every time you see an angel show up, you know what they say to every single person? Hey, don't be afraid, right? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Every time they show up, they say that. So I got to thinking, they must be these incredible beings, okay? And they are full of the power and the glory. Whose glory? They're full of God's glory. They're God's creatures, and they are full of God's glory. I think it's pretty powerful when an angel shows up, right? Amen, okay? So think about these messengers, these angels. They are in the kingdom of light, all right? Where the king of light is, and they come on the scene. So pretty incredible. So number one, angels protect us. Angels protect us. Here's the second thing. We're talking about the kingdom of light, and we're talking about angels. Here's number two. Angels, listen to this. Angels, they can encourage us. Yeah, but let me give you some scriptures. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Angels can encourage us. Hebrews chapter 1. It says this: are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Raise your hand if that's you. That's you and I. They're sent to us, guys, all right? They're sent to us. They're sent to us, okay? And I just love that. Praise God. And you know, the really interesting thing about that is they are, oh, back up. How many of you remember the story of Jesus? It's found in Mark, and I think it's also found in Luke, Mark chapter 4. Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's fasting. I'm a grump after a day, okay? He goes 40 days and 40 nights, but he's led by the Holy Spirit. Must be, I'm not led by the Holy Spirit, I'm grumpy. Okay, so he's led there, okay? And do you know what happened at the end? What happens at the end of that time? God sent his ministering angels to Jesus. Why? Well, number one, maybe for strength, because he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. How about for encouragement? Because he'd had these encounters with the devil. So if our Savior could have angels minister to him, come on, I always say, be smarter than a fifth grader. So when you encounter some tough days, okay, don't be afraid to pray to God. God, I need some help. Because when that happens, God releases his ministering spirits to minister to you. And maybe it's ministering protection. Maybe it's ministering strength. Maybe it's ministering encouragement. I love it. Okay, so we're talking about the kingdom of light. And here's the third thing you should know about angels. And there's really a lot more, but I'm scrimping it down here. We might even see them and be unaware of them. We might even see them and be unaware of them. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Before I say that, years ago, I read a series of books by Frank Peretti. Anybody read them? You talk about somebody, and I believe he had gotten this from the Holy Spirit, but he just tells these stories about talking about angels and the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Anyway, so I thought, okay, y'all at Hebrews chapter 13, it goes like this. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people have shown hospitality. Excuse me, I read that wrong. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So you know what that tells me? There are angels all around. And they are the kingdom of light. And you just might not be aware. Right? Right? Okay. So number one, we have the kingdom of light. Number one. Here's the second thing you need to know. There's also the kingdom of darkness. There's also the kingdom of darkness. Write that down. Kingdom of darkness. Okay? And I heard this statistic. Actually, I read this. It's from the Pew Research Center. And it just kind of blew me away. Listen to this. Put your seatbelts on. You're going to go, are you kidding me? Ready? They said in a recent poll, and I think this was like 2017, they found out that 50% of people who identify themselves as Christians do not believe that there's a literal devil. So that means one out of two doesn't believe that there's a devil, that there's a kingdom of darkness. Yeah. All right. They don't go to this church. All righty. Now, if that's you, can you just have this perspective just for a minute? Ready? Okay. What if the devil is on this planet? This devil is in this world. What if there is a real devil and he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And what if his greatest tactic is to get you not to believe he exists? What if his number one tactic is so that you don't even believe it? Okay? Because if he can get you there, he's got you where he wants you. Amen? How many have seen that? Really? I've seen that. Yeah. Amen. Okay. So let me give you another obvious, okay? Here's an obvious thing. I think the devil loves darkness. You know why? Why? Because God is light. He has a kingdom of light. The devil doesn't like that, okay? And the devil's goal is to pull you out of light and push you over to the darkness. It always has been his goal. It always will be his goal. It's just how he operates, okay? And, you know, it's really interesting. When you read your Bible, how do they describe hell? The uttermost dark places, right? Utter darkness, all right? Darkness, okay? And you know, really, if you're thinking about the essence of hell, it's devoid of God, and God is light. Shoo. And the devil would just love to have you away from God. And here we have God who loves you and just wants to light up your life. God just wants to light up your life. So here we have the kingdom of darkness. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time of talking about darkness. So what, I'm going to make some statements. Just smile at me, all right? Okay? So when we are in darkness, we're actually on the devil's turf. When we're in darkness, we're actually on the devil's turf. And listen, but God wants to move in your life. God wants to do incredible things in your life. But when you're in darkness, guess what? You're living in darkness. He is limited. He's limited. We're going to talk more about that. Okay? So open up your Bibles. The Bible talks a lot about this. Open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Pretty familiar bunch of scriptures here, but we're just going to focus on one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Okay? So the devil wants to keep us in darkness. Ephesians 6:1. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. All right? Now, the King James doesn't say schemes. It says the wiles of the devil. The New King James says strategies. So I was sitting about that, thinking about that. And you know what that says? That tells me the devil ain't no dummy. He's cooking up schemes and strategies, okay? And he just knows exactly how to get to us. He knows how to trick us, how to deceive us. He just knows how to operate in our life. So guys, we got to know how he operates, because I don't want that, right? We got to know how he operates. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 12, for our struggles is not against flesh and blood. Look at the person next to you, say, it's not against you, okay? Right? All right? It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, okay? Back up to that word struggle. Back up to that word struggle, okay? Could it be that our struggles aren't really our struggles? Come on, just think. Could it be that the things that we think are problems aren't our problems? Okay? Could it be that there's actually a spirit behind our problems? What's going on in this country? Could it be? Okay? Could it be? All right? All right? Okay? And maybe we are trying to solve spiritual things in the natural. But listen, there's natural things we do. We just don't sit around and eat bonbons all day, okay? There's natural things. But could it be that there's actually spiritual things going on and we're just attacking it all the time with the natural? Could it be? Okay? Because what you can't see can affect what you can see. Because I'm telling you, the things we can't see can affect the things we can see. So I want to talk about the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And I have to say this always. I am not trying to scare anybody. Goodness gracious, no. All right? I'm not trying to fixate on darkness. And any of you that have been with YCF for a long time, we spend more time talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light, okay? We spend more time about that. But listen, doesn't the Bible say, my people perish for lack of knowledge? Yeah, it's in your Bible. So maybe we better get educated on what's going on instead. Oh, I don't want to hear. Okay, let's get educated on what's going on so we can conquer it. All righty. So I'm going to toss out some questions. I just want to answer them for you. Okay, so here's question number one. What power does darkness have here? Like, can the demonic world, can Satan have power over us? Okay, the answer is yes, some. And we're going to talk about the how. Okay, yes, some. Okay, let me give you an example. Jesus had been, shows up on the scene, and this demon-possessed man shows up. Right? Jesus shows up, and then this demon-possessed man shows up. Okay, and let me give backstory on this guy. He is not in a good place. Right? He's running around screaming, living in caves and tombs where they bury people, and he's running around naked and he's cutting himself and he's trying to harm people, so much so that the locals, let's say that, tried putting shackles to chain him so he wouldn't hurt you guys and he wouldn't hurt himself. Everybody know that story? This is a demon-possessed guy, okay? And so they've got him chained up, and he would just bust out of the chains. He would just bust out of them. And he would do it with a supernatural strength, okay? And so much so that Jesus said, "Hey, what's your names?" And the demon-possessed guy answers, "My name is Legion." And the head turns around, right, you know. I know, I've probably seen things I shouldn't have. Okay. So, turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 8. We're going to pick up there. Mark chapter 5, verse 8. "For Jesus said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit,'" or "you dark, dirty spirit." Okay, I'm putting my words in there. Now, jump down to verse 21, because I want to read this part. This part, I want you to see the authority Jesus had over them. I'm going to say it again. I want you to see the authority Jesus had over them. Ready? Verse 12. "The demons begged Jesus to send us to the pigs." Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, right? And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. My friend said this. I didn't, but I had to say it. The beginning of deviled ham. How many of you love corny? I love corny. I stole, that's my friend said that. I just love that. That's a dad joke, right? Okay. Okay. So they went into the pigs, and the herd was about 2,000 in number, and they rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Okay. Now, did you notice that Jesus had to give them permission? Jesus had to give them permission. Jesus had to give them permission, okay? So in other words, the devil can only enter doors we open. You better write that down or it's going over your head, okay? What if the devil can only open doors, come in doors that we open? We're talking about doors, all right? So therefore, point number three. Ready? We have to close the doors. Write that down. We have to close the doors to darkness. And we're going to talk about that towards the end here. Okay. So again, there's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of darkness. And we have to close those doors to darkness. All right. We have to close them. Okay. And now this is the part. Sometimes we kind of blend them together. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Oh, yeah. We take a little Confucius and Buddha, and we take a little Gandhi, and we mix it with Jesus. Pastor D, we don't do that. Okay, somebody else does, all right? But we start mixing darkness with light. We start mixing darkness with light. Okay, pull your toes in, because let me ask you this, all right? How should a Christian feel about horoscopes? What does God say? What does God say about mediums and seances and Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystals, okay? So I think we need to know what God says, and I think we need to have the answer, because that's where I've seen it get blended in the church, all right? Not us. I know that. All right, okay, okay. Because guys, listen, we live in a world where you can go buy crystals that change the atmosphere. Yeah, you can, okay? And guys, this is no new thing. You know, this has been around for thousands of years, these kinds of things, and people asking mediums and tarot cards and stuff like that. So turn over to Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah. I'm going to prove it to you. Isaiah chapter 8. All right. People have been talking to Ouija boards and in darkness places for thousands of years. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. "Some may say to you, 'Let us ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whispering and mutterings, they will tell us what to do.'" Okay. This is where I go, time out. Listen. I have great compassion for people who do that. I didn't say I agree, but I have great compassion because you know what? The people that are drawn toward that, they're looking for answers. They're looking for answers. What's the song go? In all the wrong places, right? But there are people that they've had that go to mediums and stuff, and we'll talk a little bit about. And they've had loved ones who've died, and they just want to know, connect with them and talk to them because that was their last happy place, and they love them, all right? And there's people that go to these places because they got all hell breaking loose in their marriage, and they want to know what to do. And there's people that go to these mediums and seances because they just need to know, should I take this job or should I get the next one and change my career, all right? So listen, that is the root of why they do that. They're looking for answers, okay? Now, read the rest of that, ready? But shouldn't people ask who? Yes, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Yes, should the living seek guidance from the dead? No. Okay, listen. All righty. Now, don't think bad on me, but one day I was just flicking the channels and there's this TV show called The Long Island Medium. I only watched it once, okay? And her name is Teresa Caputo. I may pronounce that right, okay? And she's a medium. Alrighty, and she's really quite sweet when you listen to her. I mean, she's nice. She's not, she doesn't have fangs coming out. She's not ugly, all right? She sounds so nice, all right? And what she does, okay, some of you are looking like, Pastor D, okay. But listen, her goal is to help people. Her goal is to give people closure, all right? And oftentimes she says, what? Hey, the Spirit is telling me this. Right? Okay? Now, I will tell you that there is a spirit talking to her, right? But it is not the right spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, is it? No. Right. All right. And so let me tell you what she does. She's called a medium. And what she is she's actually the middle guy. She's the middle guy from this world to that world. All right? That's her job, okay? Now, I like what my friend said. It's a cheap imitation of the real deal. Okay? Guys, we have a medium. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the mediator between God and us. We've got one, right? Yeah, amen. And aren't you thankful that he comes to live inside us and guide us? I am, okay. So why settle for some cheap imitation when you can have the real deal? Amen, amen, okay. Because anything else that you settle for is a cheap imitation of the real thing, all right? And you know, why do I need to go to hear a horoscope on what's going to happen in the future? I've got... who lives inside of me? God lives inside of me, and he will lead me and guide me to all truth. I'm telling you, okay? And you talk about palm readings. Our Savior had nails driven in his hands and his palms. And you know what these tell you? I have taken you out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Why would you go to get your palms read? Right. Right? Okay. And you talk and listen, I have a heart for these people. Okay, Jester, that want to have crystals change their atmosphere. Okay. We had the atmosphere changed today in the presence of the Lord. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to worship the Lord. Okay. In his presence is fullness of joy. There's life and peace. Listen, I just crack open my Bible and I read and then I tell the Lord how much I love him and I'm in the presence, okay? Crystals are a cheap imitation of the real deal. Aren't you glad you got the real deal? Alrighty, okay. So let's answer some questions, okay? Ready? How do I discern a good spirit from a bad spirit? Basically, light from dark. Good question. You need to know the answer, okay? Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. How do I discern from a good spirit, the Holy Spirit, from a bad, evil spirit? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, he's talking to children of light. He's talking to the born again. He's talking to Christians, okay? Just in case you think, well, he's not talking to me. Okay, he is. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Okay? And then he tells you what to do. But what? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, the kingdom of light, because many false prophets, kingdom of darkness, have gone out into the world. Okay? Many have gone out into the world. All right? Now, the next part is what I call the litmus test. This is how you can know if it's the kingdom of light, if it's good spirit, or the kingdom of darkness. Okay, keep reading, verse 2. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God, kingdom of light, right? Every spirit that what? Acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is what? From God. Okay, verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus has not come from God. That doesn't acknowledge Jesus has not come from God. Okay? Talk about simple. It's either the kingdom of light or it's the kingdom of darkness. Pretty simple, okay? All right? But listen, we have to close the door to darkness. We do, all righty? So really interesting, this medium lady, okay? She often would say, I want you to come into the light, right? I want to bring you into the light. And I think she really wants to, okay? But she's, all right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The devil is called many times, and it comes as an angel of light. He comes, and like basically, I can't say that way. Okay. A little bit of darkness will get you off path. All right. He comes. He tries to sneak in there. So that is why you need to know what is the kingdom of light and what is the kingdom of darkness. Okay. And listen, he will try to get you off course. Okay. Let me give you some examples. Okay. Oftentimes, the enemy will try to, how do I say this? I'm going to read my notes here so I get it. Compromise in the darkness. He's going to try to get you to compromise in the darkness. He's going to try to get you compromise in the darkness. And a lot of times he'll do it through relationships. Pastor D, okay, hold on, listen to this, okay? He's like this. I know I probably can't get them to bow down and worship me today, right? Because, you know, they're that kind of Christian. But I bet I can bring people that are not walking into their life, people who are not walking in the light into their life, and they'll just slowly, inch by inch, get walking in darkness. I know I can probably bring people that live in the darkness, they're not in the light, to connect in your life. And he'll, okay, everybody get me? All right, so everybody smile. I love you, Pastor D. I love Pastor D. Okay. Now, Pastor D, I don't know about that. Hey, you ever hear the story of Samson? I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying. Samson was strong. Samson was doing the things God called him to do. And then what happened to Samson? Delilah. Okay. Now listen, think about this, okay? Sometimes I just go to bed laughing at myself, okay? Think about this. God didn't come up to him and say, oh, Sammy boy, you just stay away from that bad woman Delilah. She's bad. God didn't say that to Sammy boy. God said, Sam, I do not want you to date Delilah because she is a worshiper of the god Dagon. And that god Dagon is bad and dark, and it's from the kingdom of darkness, okay? All right? So, in case you don't know, and I didn't write this, I just want to tell you, and your mama didn't write this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, you can't date someone who lives in darkness if you live in light. You cannot, I mean, you can, but you can't, because you can't do both, all righty? Pastor D, you are so dang old-fashioned. The Bible is old-fashioned, and it's also today. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the Bible. This isn't me. Ready? Where am I? Yep. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not team up with those who are unbelievers. Okay. A lot of translations say unequally yoked. Okay, so picture, you know, the big old farm oxen, and they have that wood yoke over them, You know what I'm talking about? These big guys. So listen. It doesn't matter how much you want to go this way. If that big old oxen's going this way, you're going to go this way. So here's the question. Who are you yoked up to? Who are you hooked up to? All right? Because that is the direction you're going to go. All righty? Now, Pastor D, keep reading. All righty? The next part. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? All right. Now, I want to say this. We are not supposed to totally separate from the world and darkness. Are you kidding me? We are the heirs of salvation with a ministry to give light, okay? But if your closest friends, but your closest friends should be people of the kingdom of God. They should be believers, okay? And if they're not, and you're hanging around with those that live in the darkness, they're not born again, and they're, okay, you're going to end up this way, all right? How many of you know that to be true? Shoot, my first couple of years, I just did not like that, and it was tough, okay? Okay, so if you're 24/7, the only friends you have in your life are people that are blinded by darkness, it's not going to end well. It just doesn't, okay? So God talks about the kingdom of light, and we all say, I'm a part of the kingdom of light, and then he talks about the kingdom of darkness. So here's another good question, okay, moving on. Good question. Ready? How do I live in the light? That's a good question. We need to answer that. How do I live in the light? All right. I'm going to give you a couple things. Ready? Number one, if you're taking notes, this is good. Big doors. Ready? Big doors swing open on little hinges. So you have big doors. Usually there's two hinges on a regular door. Okay. Big doors swing open with little hinges, such as the little stuff in your life makes a big difference. Little stuff in your life makes a big difference. It really does, okay? And sometimes the little things that we can't see, right, open the door to the place we should not be hanging out in, alrighty? So, and some of us don't think that. Some of us are like, I don't believe that. Well, let me just say this. The movies that you watch, the TV shows that you watch, the podcasts, the games, the novels you're reading, they affect you. How many of you know that? They affect you. Just fess up. They do, all righty? And so the big doors swing open by little hinges, okay? So here's the second thing we need to do if we want to live in the light. Ready? We've got to take inventory of our life. I should be taking inventory of my life, okay? I should ask you should take inventory like, hey, what are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you allowing? How about what are we opening? What doors are we opening? You should take inventory, all right? Take inventory, okay? Now, I have to say this. It always breaks my heart when I run into people that I know they're believers. Some have, a type of friendship with me, and they always, the first thing out of their mouth is, I'm so depressed. Now, I understand clinical depression, and there's certain things here, but they're just like, oh, I'm so depressed. I'm so anxious. I just feel so down all the time. I just feel like I have the weight of the world. And God forbid they say, I feel suicidal. And this is what I always do. I go, and I'll say to them, let's take inventory, all right? I'll ask them, hey, what have you been watching all the time? Especially after being locked up with COVID, okay? What have you been sucking on, right? What have you been reading? What have you been listening to, okay? And so why? Why would I ask that? Because those are the little hinges that open the door that can come in our life and bring us to a place that it's just not where we're supposed to be. It's not a good place. It's not the place you want to live, right? Okay? Okay? So here, if you are dwelling on all of that, it can affect you. Matter of fact, I'll bet it does. It really does. It really does. So, I just want to say this. I am not your conscience. I'm not going to tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You got the Holy Ghost. He's really good at that job. Okay. And you don't pay me enough, right? So listen, but I have to say, if you've got struggles going on in your life, maybe you need to shut the door. All right. And take inventory, be real. And in case you think you don't got nothing going, go ask your spouse. Yep. just go ask them. They just love to tell you. All righty? All right. Because sometimes we don't recognize the little things that we have opened the door to, okay? Now, here's a big challenge, okay? Here's a big challenge. Write this down. The devil's darkness comes with a dimmer switch. Y'all know what a dimmer switch is? I got one in my dining room. It just turns it off slowly, okay? The devil's darkness comes with a dimmer switch, such as it's a process. The devil's darkness is a process. Okay, take for instance, the other night, I got up in the middle of the night, and listen, I got these dark blinds, okay? Some of you have the dark blinds and the dark shades. So I got up in the middle of the night, and you know what? The room was pitch dark, okay? And at first, I couldn't see anything, right? But slowly, my eyes adjusted to the darkness, right? My eyes adjusted to the darkness, all righty? So, here's where we got to be concerned, okay? Think about this. When all the shows and all the movies and all the stuff that you're listening to, watching and stuff like that, that stuff that doesn't bother you anymore. That stuff doesn't bother you anymore, all righty? And it just, like, I used to watch it and I'd go, oh, that really just kind of grieves my spirit. Anybody ever watch something, you're like, ugh, all right? Or that used to make me feel uncomfortable. But now it's like, eh, it's no big deal. It's just darkness, all right? That's when we need to take inventory, okay? Right? Oh, somebody say, happy face, Pastor D, all right. Okay, third thing, ready? Write this down. We've got to make a clean break. If you want to live in the light, sometimes you just got to make a clean break, right? Clean break from darkness. Turn over to 1 John. This is our last scripture, 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, here we go. I'm going to jump in. God is light, amen? God is light, and in him there is what? No darkness. And you want to go, well, duh. Right. Yeah, but, okay. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out of the truth. But if we, this is where I want to get to. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. Okay, there's a, like, five messages going on, but I'm just going to give you this one here. Ready? What he's saying is real fellowship with God, real hanging out with God, real encounters with God. You know what will happen? It will reflect on our life. It'll reflect on our life, okay? And then we'll walk in the light. Pretty simple. Yep. Real fellowship will affect our life, and then we'll walk in the life. And listen, God wants every part of your life, all right? Because he wants to fellowship with you. Praise God. Amen. So, now, have you ever tried to walk in the dark? So darkness, total light. What do? I get the flashlight out. So much easier. Get that flashlight out, okay? And I make it shine, all right? Now, this flashlight is where the word of God comes in. Okay, we got the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. You get the flashlight, the word of God in your life, in your light, in your life. Okay, a couple times during in your day. And what does it say? What's that scripture? The word is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This word is going to shine light. Amen. It's going to shine light. So sometimes we just got to. Just shut some things out, okay? Now, I just want to close with this. Every once in a while, talk about the kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness, and, you know, it's the kingdom of darkness. I don't want to live in that. I don't want to participate in that. And then I have people say, oh, I'm never going to hang out in darkness. I want to say, guess what? We are the children of light. We are the city of light on a hill, okay? And our goal is to shine light in dark places. Okay? So you can't just isolate yourself. All righty? What do we say? Everything in moderation? You can't eat that whole chocolate cake in one shot. Okay? All right? So just a little bit. All right? So same thing with darkness. All right? That's why I don't bring it home. Okay? We aren't to hide our light. We are to shine our light. And I want to say one more thing. This is a flashlight, and there is, how about, have you ever had a kid, usually kids do that, and they shine the light right in your eye? And you're like, how do you feel? How do you feel? Like, I get mad at them. They're irritating and obnoxious, okay? Guys, we are not to shine lights in people. We are to shine our light on the path that they are to walk. You are not to come up to them and say, I know what you're reading. I know what movies you're watching. I know. No, no, no. How about you just be the light and say, hey, guys, especially when they're talking about how depressed they are and anxiety they got. How about you say, hey, listen, I know a better way. And I'm walking in the light and so can you. All right. Isn't that nicer? All right. Amen. How about we pray? Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. Amen. This is what I'd like everyone to do. I'd like you to pray and ask God, what is your next step? All right. Like some of us, our next step is we need to take inventory. All right. Like, I know I love Jesus, and you just need to say, hey, Jesus, that darkness, that dimmer switch, I think I think I need to take inventory and say no to some things. All right. And some of us, you know, we just need to shut the door. All right. Shut that door. All righty. And some of you, maybe you're here and you have never gone through the door, the Jesus door. What do I mean? Like, you're thinking, you know, Pastor D, pretty much everybody in America has heard about Jesus, but I've never heard about Jesus that way. And I think I need the kingdom of light in my life. So if that's you, I want to talk to you real quick and say, hey, listen, if that's you, Jesus is standing there with his arms open. There's nothing that holds him back. And I'm telling you, he is the door, right? He is the door. He is the way, the truth, the light. And no man goes through to the Father except through Jesus. So if that's you and just God's just moving on your heart, and I just want to ask you, what have you done with Jesus? And if you're ready to say, Pastor D, I need the light. I need Jesus. Would you pray with me? Okay, just pray this real simple prayer. And all of you, there's a bunch of you that's already prayed this prayer. I know, because I know your lives and stuff. Could we all pray this out loud? All right? Say it out loud so you hear it. Ready? So everybody say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus, for me. That he sacrificed his life for me. That he died for my sins and the sins of the world. And I thank you now for bringing me out of darkness and into the light. And right now I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. Fill me with your light right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the coolest thing, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, you are new, baby. You are new. The Bible says you're a new creation. And he says a miracle happened on the inside. All right. And I just encourage you, come up and tell me. And I also encourage you, grab a Bible. We got them in the back on the corner, and start in the Gospel of John. And you'll learn more about the kingdom of light and who you are. But this day, you are a child of God, and you are the kingdom of light, and there is light. Amen. Praise God. Hey, if you would like prayer for anything, we're here to pray for you. Just have an awesome week. Happy Father's Day. If you want to stand up, we'll put your masks on. You can head on out. Amen. Praise God. Hey,